Welcome to Faith Uncut, the podcast where we explore faith in ways that might get you kicked out of most churches. I'm your host, Mike.
I'm Amira.
I'm JW.
And today we have with us a special guest, Miss Sherelle Moore Tucker. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sherelle is an author, speaker, and wellness expert who specializes in educating communities about stress and trauma and how it impacts the mind, body, and spirit. She teaches communities how to use various holistic modalities such as yoga, sound, meditation, breathing techniques, and other movement therapies for health and healing. She's also a founder of Faith and Flow Yoga and Sisters Who Meditate, programs designed for faith-based communities. So it's good to have you in the studio.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so we have Sherelle here today to talk to us, teach us about yoga in Christian circles, or yoga in general, and then we'll talk a little bit more about how that works in some Christian environments.
I feel like I'm not dressed right for this particular episode. I feel like I needed to go in the trunk and hopefully we'll pull something out.
Nah, I don't want to be yoging in this studio because I can't risk. It's too small in here. Yoga poots. We can't deal with those. That's here.
Huh? That's a thing?
It's a thing.
All right. So, Sherelle, how did you start on this path towards yoga?
You know, I never saw myself on this path. I went to college for a certain profession and thought that was going to be it, but God had a different plan for me. And so for a time, I was in the military. And during that time, I experienced some health challenges. And always being a very active person, involved in cheerleading, I ran track. I was in gospel choir, concert choir, just always very active doing different things. And at one point in my military career, I had some back issues, and it was later diagnosed as osteoarthritis in my early 20s.
Oh, wow.
Mind you, nobody in my family has arthritis. I've been pretty much a healthy person and was really surprised. I think I was 23 or 24. And so at that point, someone that's never really faced health challenges and you're a young person, you're like, okay, what do I do? And I tried to resume life as normal, but life just wasn't normal. Just the stiffness, the pain, having issues with walking, let alone trying to run again. My doctor at the time recommended that I give yoga a try because at this point I had already been through physical therapy, different medications that really weren't helping. And so that was pretty much my introduction into yoga, this world of yoga, around the same time that I was finding my way back to Christ, actually.
So what about it attracted you? I mean, was it the results that you were feeling in regards to your arthritis, or was it something else about it?
Well, before that, I was always very drawn to just a lot of high impact cardio. So yoga was never on my radar at all. It was only because of this health challenge. And so when I tried yoga and I actually kind of committed to practicing it, I felt immediate results from the stiffness, the tightness. I was able to resume things that I hadn't been doing. So it definitely was something that was beneficial, and I felt the effects immediately.
So I have a question. So you just said you kind of found your way to yoga at the same time as going back to Christ.
Right.
So I just think that's fascinating. Can you talk more about that?
Absolutely. So I grew up in the church. My father's a musician, still plays the guitar and the keyboard. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't even call it a relationship with Christ. It was very much based in fear. Mm-hmm. So I can remember my grandmother and the old church lady saying, you know, if you did something wrong, God's going to get you. And that thing just really stuck with me. Like, I always felt like God was watching, and not necessarily watching for the good stuff, but just always watching for the bad. Mm. And so I went through a lot of turmoil in my teenage years. You know, that teenager that was always running up to get saved every other Sunday.
Yeah.
That was like the story, like, you know, doing something wrong and crying and repenting, but always feeling like, I don't think I'm cut out to be a Christian, you know, because at that time I was very type A personality. So I wanted to crush it. I wanted to succeed, that whole perfection thing. Right. And we know that that's not real. But at the time, as a 14, 15, 16 year old, I really didn't understand that. I just only understood what I was being taught in the church. And so by the time I got ready to go off to college, I made up in my mind a very conscious decision. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm just going to live my life. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to stop going to church because it's way too much pressure. And I'm just going to try this thing on my own. So for a time, I would probably say from the time I was 18 to almost close to 30, I was out of the church scene for the most part. So while I was in college, I've always been very attracted to music. As I said, my father's a musician. So even though I wasn't really going to church, I was in the church singing. Isn't that weird, right? So I was in the church singing. I was in gospel choir and concert choir, but it was about community. It wasn't really about a relationship with Christ. It was just another college activity.
Music is that is a community building church.
It's community. It is,
but I feel like the music also allows for like personal worship too.
Right.
Like when you're not feeling really clear about how you fit into the body.
Absolutely.
You can kind of bring the music into your private
space. That was
space.
Always my connection.
You want, because see, I can relate to all of that.
Yes. And I have to tell you, Kurt Franklin was my connection. Even when I was way, way out there just living life on my own, a Kurt Franklin song could just really bring me back. Yeah. But yeah, that was kind of, that's where I was. So when I found yoga.
I always tell you what to do. We always tell you what's coming next. It's like real safe listening. Yeah.
Exactly. So when I started practicing yoga, out of that, being still and for the first time kind of being quiet, I started hearing and listening again. Because I believe that God is always in your ear, but are you listening? And so I began to hear that voice. And at this point, it was different. At this point, I was older. I lived life and I wanted to try church again. And I wanted to try it in a different way. And so at that time, I was also discovering yoga at the same time. Little did I know that entire period that I was out of the church scene, how people in the church would view yoga. So I was totally oblivious as I was sharing, hey, come to the yoga class. And they're like, that's demonic. That's witchcraft. And so that was my first understanding of, oh, this thing that I'm doing is really taboo. Taboo in the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put that oil on you, didn't they?
They put the oil. Yeah. Yeah. They said I was sending people to hell and I need to go repent.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. They were stretching.
Yes.
So they were stretching their way to hell.
Yeah, they were stretching their way to hell.
Meditating, things were getting quiet. They were hearing no contradictions.
So in the yoga that you practiced at this point when you're starting to get this pushback, what all is going into, let's say, a yoga session during this time? Is this like basic yoga poses, or not basic, but yoga posing, or is it other forms of meditation or higher consciousness and things like that?
Right. So when I first started practicing yoga, I was practicing at a Black-owned yoga studio where I felt very comfortable. Of course, I wasn't very familiar with the practices. I learned about mindfulness meditation there, which I was comfortable with. We did various yoga postures and had various classes really that spoke to health and wellness. Mm-hmm. So I would say that I started out in a studio where there wasn't a lot of spirituality per se, as it relates to a lot of people believe that there's a lot of talk about Buddhism and maybe a lot of chanting. And so that wasn't my experience. It was really very affirming about your health, about your mental health and well-being, and then the postures.
Yeah, that's one of the misconceptions about yoga. I mean, for people who are uninformed and they just hear yoga, they believe the yoga is a religion or a gateway to a religion. Right. And it's the practice of yoga predates religion. So
absolutely,
just because you see other religions maybe adopt yoga principles, Hinduism and things like that, that's apart from the actual practice of yoga. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like saying you cannot, I don't know, take communion unless you are a Christian. Like, I can't eat crackers and Welch's grape juice now unless I'm a Christian. Like, that's not how, like, that's, or even something more innocuous, like you can't just read the Bible if you aren't a Christian.
Right.
That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the myths that definitely needs to be dispelled in Christian circles. That you're not going to hell for doing yoga. You're not being indoctrinated into another religion.
But there's stories. So that's where a lot of the resistance is stoked in fear from churches, from leadership, that yoga is on the same level as tarot card reading or witchcraft or different cults. It's all lumped into this new age. And that's what gets people. It's fear.
But there's a myth element, there's fear, but there's also this, there's ignorance, right?
Right.
So there's the ignorance that surrounds it, which is if people are in a room gathered and they are not just stretching, but there is some chant, there is some sound that all of a sudden we're like, well, I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. That's right. Gotta be. That's, if I don't know what it is and I'm deep, then that's gotta be something that's of the devil.
Right.
And therefore the chant is wrong. Mm-hmm. Maybe not realizing that some of the language that's being used turns out is pretty close to scripture at times.
Right.
Right. Mm. So some of it actually is, it's not just, I'm not saying that there isn't yoga that may be a whole lot more aligned
right.
to a completely different religion from right. Christianity.
Yes.
But not all yoga is that way. No. So I really think it's just more so ignorance.
Right. I think there is a level of ignorance with it that comes out of these experiences that have been amplified. You know, I get emails and messages from people that say, I had a family member that was a Christian. They went off to India because they started off practicing yoga, and now they're way on this other spectrum. And that's very scary for people. For Christians to say that we have so much power and we're interceding, we're always in prayer. I find it very interesting that people feel like they can go into a different setting, and because someone is chanting in another language, that all of a sudden a spirit is going to jump off on you and you're not going to have any control. And I liken it to people that go to work every day that may be working with people of different spirits. When you go to festivals, when you go to music concerts, like you can't demonize one modality just because you don't understand it when you live out in the world each and every day.
It just doesn't seem logical, though, that the resistance would take that arc, because we dance in church sometimes.
Right.
So, I mean, for churches that dance, we dance in church, whether it be liturgical dance or, you know, spirit dance, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So that's just, I'm sitting here like incredulous, like, what? You think what?
So, I mean,
because we literally celebrate in some congregations going into the trance that produces languages that other people can interpret.
Right, but we have grabbed hold of that here in the West, but the contention comes from the roots of yoga and simply the word yoga. I've been in churches where I've worked on women's conferences and been told, we can't call it yoga. You have to just call it morning stretch. There's even a problem with the word yoga, which is a Sanskrit word for yoke. And it causes angst. It causes fear to the point where we're okay with it, but call it something else. So it's deeply rooted in the fact that it came out of the East, which a lot of people don't realize. Actually, there was yoga and there's remnants in history of it in Africa, but it was solidified in India and in the East. And so you look at things coming from other countries and how we respond to it.
That's the colonization effect
right.
that is persistent in most of our Christianity, especially in Western Christianity, where anything that is not seen in the mainline form of or vein of Christianity is seen as othered. And so
and then demonized.
Exactly. And so this is what happens when you try to eliminate or erase culture from your worship experience. And so you cannot accept on any level something that looks like it came from another culture that you are unfamiliar with. So the example that you used, Amir, with, let's say, speaking in tongues. Now, regardless of what you feel about speaking in tongues, you could go to any Pentecostal or holiness church and witness the congregant speaking in tongues, and it will be accepted.
Right.
You could also go to any African country and have a similar, or any Latin American country,
yep,
and have an experience where a similar practice, mm-hmm, is implemented, whether it's an esoteric experience or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And in that context, because it's outside of the church, then right, all of a sudden this is demonized. This is witchcraft. Right. This doesn't belong. And it's a very harmful way to view other cultures, where you exclude cultures outside of Western Christianity, and that means everyone associated with those cultures do not feel welcome in those spaces.
Absolutely. And I think that it goes back to what you said before with just ignorance and lack of education, because a lot of Christians don't even understand the history of Christianity, that this is not something that came out of the United States, right, or America. Right. This came out of the Middle East. There is nothing that we have here that's really original.
I'm so disappointed.
And it's disappointing, you know, when you hear things like that. But, you know, to your point, you know, as it relates to things coming out of other countries, it's not just yoga. I mean, I've seen lists that people send me from church that has a list of things that are new age, like yoga, don't do acupuncture, don't engage in qigong, or take your kids out of martial arts. Like, all of those things are all lumped into the same category, because I think it's a lack of understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, right? So here's what I'm thinking about.
I'm like, who has time?
Oh, a whole
who
bunch
has
of people.
Time for
no, no,
no.
Oh,
so
a whole
absolutely.
Bunch of people who have time.
Obviously,
right?
But still.
Who have given it so much thought to say that yoga, acupuncture, all these things are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I would go down the road of acupuncture, but listen, I'm no expert at all, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not an expert in yoga, but here's what I know. If a part of the practice of yoga is not just stretching, but also breathing, somewhere in its core is also this piece of just being still.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That you can find an origin of being still in the scriptures.
Right.
Right. There's also an old discipline of solitude.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That a lot of people still to this day don't practice. We're inundated with sound and message, yeah, and, mm-hmm, you know, everything. But there's an old discipline of solitude where you would legitimately just sit.
Right.
Absolutely.
And just be quiet.
No one wants to be quiet.
Right. So everybody struggles with that. Christians included.
Right.
But there is a legitimate discipline of solitude that isn't talked about as much anymore. Mm-hmm. We try to find other words to make it sound more pretty, sexy, attractive, mm-hmm, but it's still there. As a part of yoga, that's still a piece of it. Mm-hmm. So I guess to me, it's like, couldn't you find some things in, like, for those who are opposed, can't you, right, find some things in yoga where you would go, okay, I get this. You know what? This could help me so that I could be still.
Right.
And actually sit there.
If you look at yoga as a system of learning, where you're imparting the skill of learning how to be still,
right,
and how to breathe and how to be mindful, I just feel like when you consider the epidemic of stress, mm-hmm, that people are experiencing, I couldn't imagine cutting off a holistic way to relieve that stress just due to what we're saying is misinformation or not wanting to, I don't know, try a new thing or embrace,
right,
something that is not like domestic. Like, it's okay, it's not American, you know what I mean? Or okay, it's not a uniquely Christian practice.
Mm-hmm.
But considering how, like, we know that people need to improve their mental health, they need to improve how they manage their stress. It almost seems like a wellness coordinator for a body would be saying, how do we do that? What can we offer? What can we do? So you can do more than just like an aerobics class. You can definitely offer people, you know,
right,
an option like this.
Right.
Yeah, but I think that I think for a lot of churches, because of that, it being rooted in another culture and the lack of understanding, but also the spiritual component is what gets a lot of churches, that this is something that is going to take my people off of a path, because you do have those scary stories that people explore and they experiment and they veer off into other things. But I feel like that can happen with anything in life.
Right.
It's not just the path of yoga, but yoga has been deemed by many, many churches as spiritually dangerous. I mean, that's how big this issue can be. And I say that because I get on a regular basis, I wouldn't call it hate mail, but people that are concerned about what I'm doing and want me to stop what I'm doing.
They check on you. They want to save your soul.
They want to save my soul. They want to put the oil on me. They want me to go repent. And you cannot do this. Like this, you cannot separate the postures from its intent and where it was rooted and founded in.
So in the face of all of that, in the face of all of that stated and implied resistance to what you are bringing to the table, and why do you do this? Like, why do you persist with doing yoga and presenting that to the community?
I continue to do it because yoga has allowed me to see there's a lot of trauma in our community, in the African-American community. And when I started on this path, I didn't seek out to see something like that. And that's what keeps me here, which is why I continue in my studies, yoga for trauma sensitive communities. We have lots of people that come to a yoga class, a simple lighting of a candle or dimming of the lights are what I now know are triggers for people that have trauma in their body, and they have prayed and they have done different things and they're still struggling with trauma and stress. And I've seen the benefits that yoga can provide by learning how to be still and being able to process that trauma and stress, as, in addition to talk therapy and to other forms of therapy. So people that engage in talk therapy, being able to engage also in movement therapy. So yoga can be a form of movement therapy as well, because it's not just the mind that has faced the trauma, but it's also the body. And when you turn a blind eye to whatever abuse you may have faced or what you were indirectly exposed to and you don't process it, it manifests in the body. I believe that that's what happened to me. As I mentioned, there was no, I don't have any history of arthritis really in my family, but once I started really being still and meditating and getting quiet, God began to reveal some things to me. And so one of the spiritual root causes for arthritis is bitterness. Bitterness towards yourself, bitterness and resentment towards others. And I think there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about bitterness like eating away at the bones. And so I believe that there's a mind-body connection that can that allows me to continue with this path. As I've discovered yoga and the science behind it, I realize how magnificent God truly is. And although it may not be specifically in scripture, his creation and the way that our body moves and the way that it's connected, you can breathe and your breathing can calm you down, or you can still the body and that can calm the mind. God created all that. And I think that's simply fascinating.
So what type of feedback? We've talked about some of the pushback that you received from churches and organizations where you're going into. What type of feedback are you getting from the people who practice with you?
The people that practice with me are, they're amazing. And they're open people that come with their own challenges, whether it be health challenges. A lot of people that attend my class are empty nesters. So now the house is quiet and they're like, what's going on? What makes me happy? What brings me joy? And of course, the benefits, better sleep, being able to reduce your stress levels, learning how to breathe again, even though we breathe without having to think about it, a wonderful gift from God. We also can breathe in a conscious way as well. I have older people that attend my classes and it helps them with different medical ailments that are rooted in stress as it relates to heart disease, as it relates to sleep disorders, all those different things is really the feedback that I get from a lot of people that are open to it and happen to be Christians as well.
So talk a little bit about, I guess, from your perspective, the importance of kind of physical and spiritual kind of health and wellness.
Yeah, I think that there's, you know, with mental health being spotlighted on all types of news shows, I think that there's a push for understanding what else can we do outside of talk therapy? What else is going to help people? So being a military vet, there's lots of programs for veterans that deal with PTSD. There are lots of programs, the Wounded Warrior, they have warrior projects where yoga is being provided free of cost to veterans. And I think that's so, so important, as well as just senior citizens in our community, with helping them with better posture, helping them to learn how to breathe. You know, we here in the West, we turn yoga into just, it's all about the physical postures. But many people practice yoga just to breathe better. They have respiratory issues or needing to reduce stress or how to learn how to quiet the mind. We even have a component where you have big businesses like Google and businesses that are bringing yoga and mindfulness in to help with creativity, to be more productive. So it has definitely morphed into so many things here in the West that you would be hard pressed to not find a yoga class that would maybe fit your particular needs. You even have trap yoga, you know, that's really catching on with
that.
Yeah, right. So, you know, when people say it has to be rooted
like
in this this spirituality, no, you have trap yoga. And in Texas, I think I saw they have a playlist like for Beyonce yoga where you get the young people and you draw them with the music, but then you get them in and you teach them about the benefits of mindfulness and meditation and the mind-body connection and how important it is, because we can walk around very disconnected, right? We go to the doctor, they check our vital signs, but what type of vital signs are we doing on ourselves each and every day? Mm-hmm. And that's how you can walk around looking like everything is perfectly great on the outside and then go home and completely fall apart, because God didn't make you one-dimensional. Your mind, body, spirit. And so I believe that yoga is a great tool to help you stay connected, mind, body, and spirit. And just a gentle reminder of that each and every day, that you're ingesting. You're not just ingesting food, but you're taking in energy. You have energy shifts in the body. You're absorbing other people's energy and their negative self-talk. Like, those are all the things that I learned in the wellness space. And all those things are very important, especially in this day and time where mental health and mental well-being are at the forefront.
I just see it as restorative that, you know, when you intentionally give people their time back, there's value to that. Like, just hearing you talk about your perspective on connecting mind, body, and spirit kind of touches on a few things that we've talked about here from different perspectives. Mm-hmm. Because I definitely don't think that we are overly conservative on any particular issue, even though there's a blend of perspectives. But I think that we all appreciate, not overly. I mean, sometimes things come up and we'd be like, ooh. But I do think we're thoughtful. And I'm hearing something that is definitely a value add. You know, we've talked about women and their energy and their leadership and their presence in congregations, mm-hmm. and whether or not it's if there's a demonstrable value, are they being valued from different perspectives and different vantage points? And just, you know, one, looking at you as a business owner and an entrepreneur, but also just understanding that you are giving the gift of self-awareness,
right,
and mindfulness and calm and stress relief, mm-hmm. to a demographic that needs it. Right. I'm thinking like, no, this is something that needs a bridge built. You know, I'm not aware of all of these different barriers, mm-hmm. you know, that it's rooted in Eastern philosophies or, mm-hmm. you know, it's from a different culture. I'm sitting here like flabbergasted, like, this is ridiculous. But the bigger picture is that I see this as a gift. There's something about being comfortable when someone's trying to teach you something, right, or trying to gift you with a new, you know, teach you a new skill or gift you with something. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's about trust. And I'm just like, there's so much value to even learning this practice,
right,
from a sister. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there's so much value to that for, you know, young women of color learning this from a woman of color,
right,
where you can relate to how different and how non-traditional this might be to, you know, to enjoy or to practice, but that it's very useful for the actual type of life you live, as opposed to, I'm sitting here and I'm saying, so you're quiet. You know, one person calls it meditation. Other people call it prayer. When they sit, mm-hmm. in prayer that long, mm-hmm. and consider the posture of their prayer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I just don't see, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing these as too starkly different. Like, that seems so intentional to me, to keep it so starkly different.
One of the objections that I've heard has been a couple of scriptures where it says basically whether you eat or drink. Well, I'm kind of mashing up the scriptures, but okay. Basically whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And it's so odd to hear scriptures like that used to negate something that you wouldn't normally do, as if everything you do is to the glory of God.
Right.
Like, I eat ice cream to the glory of God. Like, it's just, it's so ridiculous.
You don't do that?
No, I don't eat ice cream.
Let me tell you something. No. I go to Rita's and I get that mango. Right. It's for God's glory at that moment.
So like, yeah. Like the toilet paper's out in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I change the toilet paper roll to the glory of God.
Right.
Come on, man. Everyone does
this
not.
This is what we
do. Everyone does not do everything to the
so, y'all are ridiculous.
I'm sorry.
It's used when it's convenient, and it's so ridiculous that
that
would be something that's used and applied to something. Because when Paul is saying everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial, or everything is permissible, but nothing, I will be mastered by nothing. He's kind of saying, you know, yeah, I know it said that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. In mm-hmm. this case, I'm trying to find where there is not a benefit to something like this.
I just feel like you have to dig so deep. Like, before you get there, people's stress is relieved. They've, you know, opened up their ability to communicate. They're not afraid of their thoughts. You know, they feel supported. They feel stronger. Like, you'd have to dig super deep. Like, oh my gosh, did I catch you trying to learn another language for real? You know what I'm saying? Like, it just seems ridiculous to me.
Okay, so a church or an organization is inviting you to come in.
Mm-hmm.
What can they expect that to look like?
It depends on what they want me to do. So I actually got thrust into kind of doing seminars and workshops because mm-hmm. I had churches that said, no, we're not cool with the yoga thing. And so just thinking quick on my feet, I said, what if I talk about wellness as it relates to Sabbath rest? Or what if I talk about you bless and still stress? And so that kind of opened the door to more churches being open to have me come in and talk about it from the scientific standpoint and the faith-based portion. But for those that allow me to come in, they can experience a great yoga class tailored to the needs of that community, with scripture, with really life lessons that I've learned, with inspirational music, just like any other movement type of class. Mm-hmm. Nothing that's too different, but really giving them a experience that I feel like is a worship experience. Really using your body, your soul, and your spirit. And many people that take my classes, they feel like, I feel like this is an extension of kind of what I got in church. People have taken my classes, and at the end, there's the notorious yoga nap, Shavasana, or final relaxation, whatever you want to call it. And during that time, it gives people time to just be quiet, and people mm-hmm. have really allowed themselves to enter into the presence of God, tears of joy, just being quiet and not necessarily having to do anything but to rest. And I think that mm-hmm. that's definitely a lot different in church, where we're in church doing, we're working, we're serving, but rarely do you get an opportunity to just rest in mm-hmm. Him. And that's kind of the difference.
I would be so celebratory before that nap.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it would be a praise party.
Can we just go back to something?
What
so
happened?
At the end of the thing?
Yes. So they take a nap on the mat?
The nap takes right you. At the end of it, mm-hmm. the nap takes you.
Anybody ever say this?
Hallelujah. See,
your number should go up just because of the nap.
Listen, I didn't even know. When she said you take the nap, excuse me.
It's the yoga nap.
I can see this work. So do you incorporate meditation into your sessions?
I do.
And you lead the meditation?
Yes.
Okay, I can see that happening. Because I fall asleep to meditation a lot. And, I'm sitting listening to this. I'm like,
that's you individually.
Well,
I'm saying in a class, everybody at the end.
Community nap.
Right.
Kindergarten. Like kindergarten, y'all.
Just like kindergarten. And some people don't wake up. Some people don't wake up when it's time to get up. And that lets you know that we are in a society where people are really tired. They're not getting real rest.
I can tell you right now, I ain't getting up. After that's over. Leave me there till the next class is over.
As much as I love sleep, it's going down. Oh, thankful the whole way.
Well, thank you for coming and sharing this with us.
We appreciate it.
I think this
it.
Is important to talk about. I think that we potentially missing out on something that actually helps us tremendously. For
more than the nap, but yes.
You're right. Yeah. More than,
yeah. More than yeah. the nap.
For right. silly reasons. Yeah. And I don't want that for our folks. So where can people find you?
Right. So they can find me. My website is SherelleMoreTucker.com. And
can you spell that? Spell
it. Yes. Yeah. Sherelle, SHERRELL. MOOR-E-TUCKER.com. I'm also, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
At same thing, Sherelle same. Moore Tucker.
Yes, Sherelle Moore Tucker.
Okay. Sherelle Moore Tucker. Thank you so much. This yes. has been awesome. And this is also a sad occasion for us because we have an announcement to
we
make.
We have an announcement.
Yes. So, for all of our, for the listeners, for the family, this is going to be my last show, at least for a minute, because I'm gonna have to pull back, really because of just life. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot happening in life in terms of work mm-hmm. and family needs and things like that, but more so work and more work. So with that, it's just unfair to
work. Then no, you got a podcast to do.
I probably do, but because of what I do for a living, I kind of hope that this stays on the low because sometimes we say things that probably would not only get you kicked out of most churches, but it might get you kicked out of certain government rooms. So it is very sad because I mean, like this is home, man. Like this is, you know, this is like, aww. This is my home territory, my family. So it's hard to go, but you know, I'll still be around in the group and, you know.
So wait, this is temporary, right? Look what? At this. The this. Leave? Yeah. You gone? You're gone. Wait a minute.
Yeah. I'm saying.
Brother, he like, said for the time yeah, being.
For the time being.
Yeah. Yes. You
so got there's me another go, time,
so that's temporary.
Right?
You got me okay. going back to like.
No, I was clocking it.
That. Did I not read
I'm taking minutes on this part. I'm taking minutes on this. So you
see how family does you? No, I said no. For this season, the reason why I'm saying I'm not being clear is because I don't know for how long. That's mm-hmm. really my point.
Okay.
Because, right. you know, listen, y'all, I take my word seriously. So if I'm like, no, I'm going to be back in about, you know, about a month and a half, give me about 3 episodes, I'll be here. Then all of a sudden something happens at work. That's going to change up everything.
Work does happen to pay more than we pay. So
it does. It does.
Slightly.
I mean, I got good benefits.
Yeah. Slightly.
I got good benefits yeah. with the podcast. I'm not going to lie.
Lord,
so we're gonna miss JW, and that's gonna be tough because I mean, your voice, what you bring to the show is so mm-hmm. invaluable, and that cannot be replaced. You and I started this, and you were the one that reined me in, so it's either gonna be Amira doing it, or I'm gonna be lit. So we hopefully the fans can deal with us as we try to deal with your
yes.
absence,
yes. Yeah.
No, so it's going to be tough, man. No, I'm going to miss everybody, man. I'm going to miss y'all. So,
all right, y'all. Come back next week. We'll have more Faith Uncut. Thank you again to Ms. Sherelle Moore Tucker.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Check her out on all of the social media at Sherelle Moore Tucker. And for Faith Uncut, I'm your host, Mike.
I'm Amira.
I'm JW.
For more on Faith Uncut, check us out at faithuncut.com.